Christians. Well, this morning, once again, we are in the Gospel of John, and we are in the 14th chapter of John, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 24 this morning. These words were recorded by John from Jesus, who spoke them in the upper room on that last night. Let us give our careful attention now to the Word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forevermore. As we continue our consideration of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I hope it is apparent to us all by now that the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us is multifaceted. We can't nail it down to just one thing that he comes to do, for he does many things in his ministry to the people of God. And we can see this today in verse 16 as Jesus calls him another helper. This word helper is the word that the translators of the English Standard Version use to render the Greek word paraclete. Paraclete is a compound word made up of two words. One is para. We get the English word parallel from it. It means something or someone who comes alongside of or near to. Clete doesn't have an English derivative. It means a number of things: to persuade, to encourage, to direct, to remind. And so there's a lot of different ways you can translate paraclete into English. And if you take the time to survey some of the English translations of John 14, verse 16, you'll find them rendering it not only helper, but advocate, in the sense of a defense attorney. Others call him the counselor, which certainly is an accurate translation as well. The old King James calls him the comforter. And I wanted to take up that translation this morning because that is another aspect of the multifaceted ministry of the Holy Spirit. As I read the verses that I just read to you this morning, I can see five ways that the Holy Spirit carries out the very important ministry of comforting us. I'd like to share those with you this morning. If you look at verses 16 and 17, it's clear that one of the ways the Holy Spirit comforts the believer is by dwelling within us. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Forever. That includes 2021, this year when it seems like everything in our country is under attack, when all the old verities seem to be giving way and new truths, so-called truths, are now being held publicly. But even in this year, 2021, we can expect the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts, in our lives, to help us, to minister to us. This is indeed the promise that we find throughout the Scriptures. All the way back into Genesis, when God called Abraham to leave his home country and go to a land he did not know what, God said, I will be with you. Exodus, when Moses said, I can't go and deliver the people of Israel, Pharaoh won't listen to me, God said to him, go and I will be with you. when Joshua was called to take over the leadership of Israel to undertake winning the promised land for the people of Israel. Moses was dead. How in the world could he fill those mighty sandals? God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And this is the promise he gives us. You can find it specifically in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, where we're reminded that he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Believer, always, always remember, no matter how you feel, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances might be, you are never alone. You may not feel his presence. You may doubt his presence. It has nothing to do with how much faith or strength you have. It has to do with the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So he's here to help us. And this is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who comes to dwell within us. This is what he says in verse 17. He said, you know him, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you. That is what he was doing then. And he will be in you. That is what he's doing for us now. He dwells within us. The second way the Holy Spirit carries out the ministry of comfort for the believer is that he leads the believers into truth. Verse 17, he is called the Spirit of Truth. It's one of his many titles because he leads us into truth. When we read the scriptures, it is the Holy Spirit that moves our hearts and our minds to identify the Bible as the Word of God, to read it and to understand it, to find our hearts warmed, as the disciples said about when Jesus was speaking to them on the day of resurrection. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us, opening the scriptures to us? This is very important for us to understand. He wants us to be a people of the truth. John, who recorded this verse 17 originally, when he wrote his third little brief epistle, in the fourth verse he writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. John believed this and treasured it, and we do as well. I think not all of us could write, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth, for many of us have children who are not walking in truth. Many of us have family and friends who, if they ever heard the gospel, have kind of shrugged their shoulders and don't seem to value it very much. I doubt there's a single person here today that doesn't have a friend or a family member in this situation. And I would just say to you, you're not alone. There are many who are suffering in the same way, and we can all therefore understand what John meant when he said, I have no greater joy than to hear they're walking in the truth. That's what we would want more than anything else. And this passage should give us encouragement, because this passage reveals to us that the key to the truth is in the powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who has the ability to awaken the slumbering heart to come to Jesus Christ. Even if they've come before, he can bring them back. And so here we know the gate that we should be knocking at, asking God to awaken our loved ones to the truth. Yes, we pray for opportunities to share the gospel with them, but we know that it is the Holy Spirit alone who can bring the fire to their hearts of truth and of faith, and we look to him to do that. He promises. He has special promises to us to work in answer to our prayers that are made according to his will. And so we see the Holy Spirit blesses us and comforts us by dwelling in us, by leading us into the truth of God. The third way that he comforts us is by arranging for our adoption as the children of God. And Jesus alludes to this in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. An orphan is a child who is homeless, friendless, helpless, desolate. In other words, they are sheep without a shepherd. They move the compassion of Jesus in a very special way. And we saw last week as we looked in Romans 8, one of the powerful ministries of the Holy Spirit is our adoption. In fact, there in verse 15 of chapter 8, we encountered another great title of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Adoption. A principal part of His ministry of comfort is bringing us into a knowing, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. Many of you have adopted children, and you could get up today and testify to how much you have to go through to fill out all the paperwork and all the starts and stops that are involved and all the heartbreak and patience that are needed. And here we find that the Holy Spirit is the one who has, in a way, arranged all the, taken care of all the paperwork for you and me to become the children of God. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are God's beloved child, and He is your heavenly Father. And never forget what He went through and what He did and the price He paid so that your sins could be washed away and you could be called beloved child. All of this is due to the comfort and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The fourth way the Holy Spirit comforts believers is by delivering us to eternal life. Look at verse 19. He says, "Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live." Now, verse 19 doesn't tie this directly to the Holy Spirit's work, but Paul ties it to the Holy Spirit's work in chapter 8 of Romans in verse 11, where he wrote, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." It is the Spirit who is the instrument of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is the Spirit who is the instrument of our resurrection, our physical resurrection on the last day, but also the fact that as soon as we close our eyes in death, we will open them in glory and find ourselves in the presence of Jesus Christ. It is such a marvelous reality that Jesus could say in the Gospel of John, "He that believes and lives in me shall never die." He didn't mean that we wouldn't physically die, but he meant that our consciousness, our spirit, would continue on with nary a bump when the day comes for us to walk through that door, when we hear His voice and find ourselves in His presence. This is a certainty because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 10, where he writes, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us, and on Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again." It gets a little foggy in this English translation of 2 Corinthians 1:10, but in the original Greek language it's very clear that Paul is talking past, present, and future. In the past, He delivered us. Presently, we stand delivered. And in the future, we know that we shall ultimately be delivered once again. And the point that Paul is making there is that there is an unbreakable chain between the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today and our ultimate salvation. He describes this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Paul is certain. Why? Because it's not based on how strong you are or how great your faith is, but it is based upon the power of God. It is true, we hold His hand, but it is true, it is His hand that's truly holding us. And so we see four ways the Holy Spirit comforts us as the great comforter. He dwells within us. He brings us to the truth of God. He arranges for our adoption as God's beloved children. He delivers us into eternal life. And finally, He assures us of Christ's love. Look at verse 20 and following. "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then after Judas says, how can you manifest yourself to us and not the world? He answers, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The idea there of permanence. He's coming to dwell within us, to live with us. And we see how this occurs through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He convinces us that Jesus is the Son of God. In that day you will know that I am in my Father. He communicates to us the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will be with you. I will never leave you. And how does he do that? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. It is through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is one with the Father and with the Son. He is his presence within our hearts and lives. He leads us in obedience to Jesus' commandments. He who keeps my word. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us the commandments of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that reminds us of his commandments when we find ourselves at a crossroads. I remember many years ago, I had a young friend. I was young at that time, and he was a believer in Christ. But I discovered that he was involved in some terrible sin, and he was not repented of it. He was going to continue because he enjoyed it. And I told him that this is a sin and an offense against God, and as a Christian, he could not do this. And he started arguing with me, and so I opened my Bible and showed him in black and white, what you're doing, God says, is an abomination and a sin. And his response was, well, it may say that in the Bible, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. And I told him, it might be a spirit telling you to do it, but it's not the Holy Spirit. His name is Holy, not disobedience. He will never, ever prompt you to disobey God's word. That prompt comes from somewhere else, probably from within ourselves. But he is the one who leads us in obedience. And he reveals Jesus Christ more and more clearly to us. I will manifest myself to him. My Father and I will come and make our home with him, to live in the fellowship, in the presence of God, and to be aware of his presence. These are part of the gifts and comfort that the Holy Spirit gives to his people. We don't always experience it always, but it is ours to seek after and to pray for and to know that Christ has promised it to us. Back in 1950, the President of the United States was a man named Harry Truman. But during 1950, he didn't dwell in the White House, because one day earlier in the year, he was sitting downstairs and he heard a crash, and he looked up at the ceiling and the baby grand piano was coming through the ceiling of the White House. And so they did a survey and they found that the floors were rotted out and termite ridden, and it was very dangerous. So they really condemned the White House, and Truman and his family had to move over across the street to the Blair House. You can look it up online. It's amazing. They gutted the entire White House. They left the outer walls, and they rebuilt the whole thing with steel girders exactly as it was before. And so you can't tell that it was done, except pianos don't fall through the ceiling anymore, which is a great improvement. Well, on November the 1st in 1950, the Blair House came under attack by a small group of terrorists with automatic weapons. They attacked the front door, and the Secret Service repelled them in what is called the longest gun battle the Secret Service has had in their history. As the firing began outside, Truman was upstairs in the front bedroom, and he heard the gunshots, and he, in curiosity, went over and looked out the window. He was standing 34 feet above the attacker in plain sight, and the Secret Service agent yelled at him, "Get out of the window!" You know, Truman was used to giving orders, not taking orders. But he took that order, thankfully. And I mention that because the Holy Spirit serves as our security detail. And we need to learn to take orders from the Holy Spirit. We need to pay attention to his promptings. They will never contradict Scripture. We can be sure of that. And to know the Bible is to know the will of God And so we should pay attention to God's word and pray that he would give us a heart and a mind to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is also the Spirit of truth. The second lesson I want to mention to you today is that you and I need to share the truth and comfort that we receive from the Holy Spirit. This is part of the reason God gives us comfort. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." Sometimes we go through difficulties and affliction and we wonder why. One of the reasons very well may be so that we can receive comfort from our God and enable us to be able to share comfort with those around us who need it. We learn from this that God comforts us not simply to make us comfortable, but to enable us to become comforters to one another, which is why we need the fellowship of the saints. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the active, powerful, working ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is still with us today and will be with us forever. We thank you for his work. We pray that you would help us to be more aware of his ministry in our lives. We pray that we would be more obedient to his promptings, that we would be a people who love the Lord Jesus, who love his commandments and seek to obey him, a people of the word, a people who are watching out for those around us, that we might comfort them and encourage them and direct them into the ways of truth. We ask these things, Father, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.